Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. I was thinking recently this week about why is it that some believers hear the Word of God and it transforms them. And some believers hear the Word of God and it becomes dry and lifeless to them. And yet they are both listening to the same preacher. And on the one, this is assuming that he is indeed preaching the Word of God. And the one, to them it's life. And they're saying it's amazing, it's wonderful. And to the other, it's almost death. And they're saying, this is terrible. I see nothing here. Why is that? Well, in John chapter 3, the Word of God says, starting in verse 1, don't become familiar, and by familiar I mean in the wrong sense, so acquainted that it's no longer meaningful or precious. Don't become familiar with this. Listen though carefully. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Can you imagine, you know, hearing that? Hey, you got to be born again. What do you mean I got to be born again? No, really, you've got to be born again. We are so familiar with that phrase, it's lost its meaning in today's Christian culture. Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, which refers to the Word of God, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This is the reason why some people have life from hearing the message and some people do not. And I'm not talking about salvation. This passage is used so much for salvation, and that's fine. That is an accurate application, but it is a very simple application, and just to say it's an application towards salvation is very incomplete. What does it mean? Verily, verily, except a man be born again. What is that? Except a man be born from above. That's what the American Standard Version puts it that way. That is one of the meanings of that phrase. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see. Sight refers to perception here. Unless I am born from above, I cannot perceive the kingdom of God. What is it to be born? Unless I receive life from above, I cannot perceive the things of the kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever receives life from the flesh, from the old sin nature, from the world, the natural way of doing things, whatever receives its life from the carnal mind, that's flesh. But the Word of God says the flesh profits nothing. But whatever is received from the Spirit, whatever receives its life from the Spirit, that is the Spirit. What is that Spirit? It is the Spirit of man. So when I hear the Word of God, I have to be very careful how I hear. Because I want not to receive it in the flesh, in the carnal mind, in the natural man. I want to receive it in the human spirit that was born when I was born again. The first time, meaning when I got saved, And now I receive it and it's life imparting. Not that I need to be saved more than once. That's not what I'm saying. But I got saved and now I can receive in the spirit of man that was born in me and it is life imparting. And this is the difference between believers. Some believers listen in the natural mind and the elements of the soul. Some believers listen in the things that are of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of man. It is the Spirit of man that fellowships with the Spirit of God. Now, in Luke 8:18, turn there please. The Word of God says, "Therefore take heed how you hear. For whosoever has, to him more will be given, and whosoever does not have, whatever he seems to have will be taken from him." The word "you hear," that phrase, is pos akoete. It's in the present active indicative, and it means a manner of hearing. Present tense is a continuous action. Active voice means the subject produces the action of the verb, and indicative mood means this is a dogmatic reality. So what it's saying is that as your reality, take heed to how you produce the action of hearing. What manner of hearing you are undergoing. Not just are you concentrating or not, but what is the manner of your hearing? For whosoever has, to him more will be given, and whosoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Seems is dokeo. It's in the present active indicative again. And that imagination, it's talking about imagination and thinking and considering and appearing. So what my natural imagination is thinking it has will disappear. If I listen, if I hear in the wrong manner of hearing. In Romans 10:17, this is extremely important, what manner? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So how do I hear the Word of God? A very important thing, because in Hebrews 11:6 it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. So it doesn't matter what I do. That's not the issue. The issue is how, what manner of hearing do I have? Because only then, when I hear in the right manner, will it make me different, will it change my life. Do you understand? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Word of God says in verse 11, "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." What does that mean? It's saying that the Spirit of God knows the things of God, and the Spirit of man fellowships with the Spirit of God to impart to the man. So the human spirit fellowships with the Holy Spirit if I'm hearing correctly in the right manner. But if I am not hearing in the right manner, this will not happen. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, we have the other side of this. In verse 17, Paul gives an admonition, and he gives a consequence to the ignoring of the admonition. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who walk, who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." This is wrong hearing. Why do I say that? Whose end is destruction. Okay, so if I am an enemy of the cross of Christ, my practical experience, I can be an enemy of the cross as a believer, and my practical experience will be destruction. But, get this, this is what defines it for us. Whose God is their belly, whose glory is their is in their shame, and who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this referring to? Whose God is their belly? Well, belly is a metonym. There is no word for emotions here. So the Bible uses things like reins or belly or bowels or kidneys. It receives and then it sends out what it receives. And their God is their emotions. You see, some people when they hear, they do not hear in the human spirit. They hear in their emotions. This is one type of hearer. They hear to soothe their emotions. They hear to satisfy, to produce a result in their emotions. They want to perhaps feel better. They perhaps want to feel like they belong. And so they hear in their emotions and they turn to the Word of God in their hearing to say, hey, listen, soothe my emotions. And then they start making decisions on the basis of their emotions, whatever they believe, because mind you, it's in the imaginations. It's not in the reality of it. It's in their imaginations. They think that something will soothe their emotions apart from God, and so they go after this thing to soothe their emotions. They hear to soothe emotions. They start relationships to soothe their emotions. They fellowship with certain ones, often with wrong people, to soothe emotions. Young people frequently get into this. A guy or a girl, they look to a girl or a guy to soothe their emotions, and it's not a godly relationship. But because it soothes their emotions, it's like puts a little band-aid on a wound that will only grow. Because they are doing that, what they are doing is they are turning away from God, and now they have a new God, and that God is their emotion. Because now they are making decisions on the basis of how it feels. Hey, you know what? God's not all that interested in how it feels. Why? Because He gives a provision for how it feels. And if I reject His provision for how it feels, He's really not all that interested. They say, fine, you've rejected what I've given you, and you're trying to find something apart from me to soothe your emotions. Your emotions are now your God. They are the basis of your decisions. And even in hearing the Word of God, they come to the Word and look for an emotional salve, and they can't find it. Oh, it might comfort for a little while. If it's an edifying message, they'll feel good about it. If it's a convicting message, they'll get hurt or mad. It's hearing in the emotions. Their God is their belly. Then there's a second type whose glory is their shame. This is talking about their decisions, their volition. Some people hear for their volition. And so they hear so they would know what to do. Hey, just tell me what to do and I will do it. Hey, if you tell me be good, I'll be good. If you tell me don't sin, I won't sin. Just tell me what to do and I will do it. That's not proper hearing. I do not hear for my volition. I use my volition to hear, but I do not hear for my volition. The Word of God is not there to tell me what to do. The Word of God is there to give me an intimate communion and oneness with the living God. It's not there to tell me what to do, per se. Hey, the law was given. Isn't the law given? Isn't that how I'm pleasing to God? By the law? How many of you guys have heard, hey, if you want to be pleasing to God, follow the Ten Commandments? Show of hands. How many people have actually heard that? Yeah, sure. You know what? It's wrong. 1 Corinthians 15:51, the strength of sin is in the law. It's not about the Ten Commandments. Paul said to Timothy, hey, if you don't know that you should not kill, or if you don't know that you should not kidnap, or if you don't know that you should not commit adultery, then maybe the law is good for you. But if you already know that, then you know what? It's not really going to do you much good. No. The strength of sin is in the law. But if I hear in my volition, I am giving myself a law to follow and obey. And so tell me what to do, preacher. Tell me what to do, Bible. I'm hearing in my emotions. And people like this, they get frequently very tired. The people here in their emotions get very unsatisfied. And it's very unstable. Because it's all about their emotions. And the people who get here in their volition get very tired. Because they hear in a mind that has not been regenerated. They hear in a way that has no quickening, no life and power from the Word of God. It has no God in it. Because God only fellowships with the human spirit. You see, what are we talking about? Emotions, mind? Mind is the intellect is the third one. Let's finish that one first and then we'll talk about, don't let me forget what we're talking about. We are talking, okay, next one is intellect. Right? Next was intellect. Who set their mind on earthly things. I hear in my intellect and the Word of God becomes an intellectual discourse that is a theology for me to play with in my head and get puffed up over. Because knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And so there are those believers who hear in their intellect, they love it soaking in the Word of God, but it doesn't transform. It simply accumulates as head knowledge, as theology, and these are the same type of people that like to get into debates with everybody and their cousin. Because it's all about what do I know versus what do you know. And there is no life in it. And I walk away puffed up thinking I know something when Paul said, if you think you know anything at all, you know nothing as you ought. So they listen in their mind, in their intellect, and it puffs them up, but it doesn't produce life. It produces a level of arrogance. Ever meet arrogant Christians? They kind of think they know something. They receive the word in their intellect. But this is not how I receive. These are three of the five components of the soul. Before a man is saved, or a woman, before a person is saved, they are dichotomous. When they become saved, they become trichotomous. The unsaved are a body and a soul. The saved are a body and a soul and a spirit. And it is the human spirit which receives from God. You see, it's the deep that calls unto the deep. Right? In Psalm 42, in the 8th part of verse 7, it's the deep that calls unto the deep. It's the Spirit of God that talks to the spirit of man. Pastor Stevens called it the three channels, Channel A, Channel B, and Channel C. Channel A is perception. I understand what I hear. I hear it. I know what you are saying. Channel B is the frame of reference. I start to think with it. Channel C is the transformed soul. It is possible, though, that I do not hear it's possible that I do not hear in the spirit of man. It's possible that I hear in the soul. And many believers are out there are like this. They hear in their emotions, or they hear in their intellect, or they hear in their volition. Soothe my emotions, tell me what to do. And let me get puffed up because I want to know something. And God says, none of those profits at all. And the believer who hears this way will become a very frustrated believer eventually. It will do them no good. And this is the believer who after a season says, hey, I've heard it, I've tried it, been there, done that, it ain't all that special. It doesn't produce light, it's not all that special. That's because they're listening in their soul. And they're right. In that case, it is not all that special. It is when I listen to the Holy Spirit bringing the Word to the human spirit, that's when I receive something from God. How does this work? In 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Well, don't we all sin? Didn't John also say, if you say you have no sin, you are a liar and there is no truth in you? Like, haven't we sinned maybe even today? Somebody cuts me off and I let go a wordy dirt. Right? Isn't this like what our lives are really kind of like? I get irritated and instead of guarding my tongue, I let somebody have it. Isn't this really kind of what we are like? Sure it is. Sure it is. So we cannot say that we have no sin. So what is this talking about then? Who can be saved? I love that passage. And who can be saved, Lord? With man, these things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. How does this work? It's the spirit of man that was born of God. It was not the soul and it was not the flesh. It is the spirit of man. It's the human spirit that does not sin. When my soul fellowships with the human spirit, mind, emotions, conscience, self-consciousness, and volition, there you have the five parts of the soul. When my soul fellowships with the human spirit, I do not sin. When my soul fellowships with my old sin nature, which is being initiated to by the world, which is in the control of Satan, I do sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's sin by definition. Job 32:8, but there is a spirit of man. There is a spirit in man. And the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Mind you, the breath of the Almighty doesn't give this one life. He gives him understanding. What is that saying? The Spirit of God teaches the spirit of man. You want to learn how to learn of God? Listen to the Spirit of God in the spirit of man. And you get understanding. That's where the deep calls to the deep. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual to spiritual. Bringing spiritual to spiritual. Bringing the Holy Spirit to the human spirit. And there is fellowship. This is why in Ephesians 3:16 we are strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. The spirit man. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Hey, you know why I'm bringing this up? Because I'd say a good 90% of Christianity listens in their soul. At least some of the time. Don't listen in your soul. Listen in the spirit of man. You know why? Because in Habakkuk 2:4, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just live by faith. It's pride that causes me to listen in the soul. In Jeremiah 13:15, hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Now, how do I enter into this, listening in the spirit of man? Do you know? It's in Psalm 25 and verse 9. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. So there's the first component of listening in the spirit of man, humility. I don't think that I am more than I am. I don't think that I know something. I don't say, oh, that person, I cannot learn something from that pastor. Or I cannot learn something from that believer. I don't think those things. Humility. In Psalm 34:2, in the B part, the humble shall hear. The humble will hear. So the first thing that I need to not listen in the soul, but to listen in the human spirit, is humility. Now, how do I end? Like, how does this become practical? Like, okay, so now I have this idea. How does it work? Well, that's in Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful." This is in the New King James. The Word of God is alive, it is living and it is powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division, and that word actually means partition or dividing into parts, to the division of the soul and the spirit. It's putting a partition between the soul and spirit. It's saying, you do not listen in the soul, you listen in the spirit. When you listen to the Word of God, it separates your soul from your spirit. And the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it starts by hearing in humility. Okay, it starts by hearing in humility. Now, the second part of that is in Hebrews 4:2. For indeed the gospel was preached unto us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. That word prophet is ophelesin, and it's in the aorist active indicative. That means it's a once and for all action with continuing results and no end in sight. That did not happen to them. There was no once and for all continuous action with no end in sight. And the meaning of the word is to increase or to be useful or beneficial or further them or help them. So he's saying is the gospel was preached unto us as well as to them. We heard the same gospel. We were sitting and listening to the same guy. But one it profited, one it increased, one it was helpful to, one it was beneficial to, and the other it was not. One it had an effectual effect, and the other it did not. It had an effectual working in the one person's heart where the person is transformed from the inside and the other is just as he was. Because the one heard in the soul, the other heard in the spirit. How do I hear in the spirit? It's right here. Humility, and then not being mixed with faith. Not being mixed with faith in those that heard. So what happens, I hear, but I don't actually believe it. I don't have faith to mix it that takes it to the human spirit. I hear in faith, I believe the Word of God, and it takes it to the human spirit, and it becomes my frame of reference, and then it transforms who I am. I hear in my emotions, or I hear in my intellect, or I hear in my volition, and it transforms nothing at all. And it leaves me dried up, it leaves me frustrated, it leaves me bored, and it leaves me seeking for something different because right now I'm not getting satisfaction. You're listening to the Spirit speaking, but you're listening to it in the soul. And the reason why you're listening to it in the soul is because there wasn't humility mixed with faith as the Word was coming forward. And so what happens? It doesn't profit me. It doesn't build me. It doesn't help me. It doesn't further me. It's not beneficial to me. This is why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said, when you listen to the preacher, it's not to the words of a man, it's to the words of God. As he is being led by the Holy Spirit of God, who is whispering to his inner ear, saying, this is what I want you to say. And I believe it as a hearer, I believe. And I say, yes, that's the word of God. This is truth. This is reality that is proceeding from that person's mouth. This is reality. This is the way things are for me. I don't say to myself, no, this doesn't apply to me. It applies to everyone else, but I am the one exception in all of eternity. Because isn't that what we say sometimes? The Word of God says certain things. The pastor feels led by the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-filled believer comes up to you and gives you a portion. And you say, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me. I'm different. No, you're not different. You are the same. You are a human being. You are the same. So I believe the truth. I believe the truth. And as the truth comes forth, I say, this is truth. This is reality. I accept the reality of it. And then it becomes part of the way that I think. It becomes part of my frame of reference. And as it becomes my frame of reference, then it penetrates into my mind, into my emotions, into my volition, into my self-consciousness, my self-image, into my conscience. Hey, it penetrates the subconscious. By the way, be careful about what you are willing to listen to and be careful about who you are willing to speak to. You see, you think because the conscious mind can accept or reject that you can listen and you can fellowship with things that are not right from God and you can accept or reject. Not so. Because everything that you hear goes into the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind does not accept or reject, it accepts everything. And the subconscious mind regulates the conscious mind. So in your conscious mind you say to yourself, I can accept or reject. But no, you are not hearing in the conscious mind. You are hearing in the subconscious mind. And it takes in what it receives with no discrimination. And the subconscious mind then regulates the conscious mind. It becomes the premise of your thinking. And all of a sudden you know something is wrong, but you just can't help yourself. Well, no kidding, it's in your subconscious mind. How do you get rid of that? You have to receive something new in the subconscious mind from the Word of God. Mixing faith with what they hear, it profits. A person like that frequently rejects what the Word of God said from the pulpit or from the Bible. And they accept what they wanted to hear in their emotions because they were listening in their emotions or in their intellect or in their volition. And they accept what they, because it agrees with or it fulfills the emotions or tells me what to do, makes things nice and easy for me. Or it builds me up in my head knowledge, which just puffs me up, and it's really quite useless. I mean, I'm just a puffed up dust ball. And then the subconscious mind is dictating to the conscious mind, and I can't live a victorious life. I know in my heart what is right, I just can't do it. Yeah, you got the wrong premise. The subconscious mind's ruling. It always does. You got to bring in the right information to the subconscious mind. And when you do that, the Word of God takes over and you mix faith with what you hear. Before you hear it, you believe things like, I don't know, what the world says, evolution, or flattery from people who want something from you, or whatever. You know what the world does. By the way, what's the difference between flattery and edification? Flattery says, I'm great in my flesh. It builds my flesh. Builds my ego. And people flatter because they are manipulating. They want something from me. And so they flatter me. Edification builds me in who I am in the Lord. Edification builds my capacity for the Savior. Edification tells me the way God sees me. Edification does not necessarily aim at my emotions. My emotions may respond, but it doesn't aim at them. Flattery aims at making me feel good. Edification's aiming at building me up in Christ. Sometimes they look the same, but they're not. I hear the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and I start to believe what the Word of God says. Hey, do you know why people have a bad self-image? Christians have a bad self-image? Because they heard in their soul and not in their spirit. I learned how to hear in the Spirit of God, and it transforms me. And all of a sudden, when God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I will draw you, it means something. If I hear in the human soul, it'll mean nothing. It'll be nice words. But if I hear in the Spirit of God, it's tremendously confidence building to know that God loves me with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, He will always and never anything other than that draw me. That's the Spirit of God speaking. When I hear in the Spirit of God, to the Spirit of man, instead of hearing in my emotions, and God says in Isaiah 42, you are precious in my eyes and I have loved you and I will give other lives for yours. It means something. It means something. It produces tremendous confidence and stability. It produces a peace that passes all understanding. Because now it actually means something. And the truth of who God is and what He said penetrates me. And it changes me. It means something. Hey, it's reality. You got it? It's reality. I really am loved by God. And I can actually believe it because it is so. If I hear in the soul, I say, yeah, maybe God says it, but you don't know. You don't know. You don't know what I'm like. I don't feel it. You don't know. Don't look for feelings. Look for the Holy Spirit, and then the right feelings will be produced in you. Let God produce your feelings. Don't look for a feeling. Let God produce your feelings. Then it'll mean when God says, even if you are faithless, I will be faithful to you. Or when God says that His mercies endure forever, I'll be able to live in it. Because it becomes the foundation of who I am. And I have tremendous confidence toward God. And I will be so even that people won't even know what's going on. Hey, you were crazy last year, but look what happened to you. Yeah, God happened to me. He entered in a practical way. Not just for salvation, but a transformed heart. He changed me. Because I heard in the spirit of man, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit of God. I have tremendous confidence because then it takes on a reality that I can stand on. Because it is a reality that I can stand on. And I will start to believe. Never hear in the human soul. Always here in the human spirit. Never here in the human soul. Always here in the human spirit. Never with your emotions. Don't look for the Word to soothe your emotions. Look for the Word to build who you are. And then your emotions will be right. And how many believers, and I think we all go there from time to time, you have these little emotional hey, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice to have like complete stability? Young people frequently, sometimes I'll ask my classes, like, how many of you guys like live your life and then you look at yourself and say, yeah, I am absolutely a freakazoidal maniac. I am a loon. I'm like completely out of my mind, absolutely insane. Most of them raise their hands. Yeah, I've been there. You know what? It's your emotions. Hey, you know what? You can have stability in those emotions. You can have stability. How many people have been facing a decision and they don't know this way or that way? And making the decision is almost traumatic. You know what? You can have complete clarity and complete soundness of mind. Hey, God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. Right? God gives us a sound mind. How many people get into situations where the knowledge really goes to town with them? And they accumulate knowledge, but they really eventually kind of get confused because they don't know if this knowledge is it or is this knowledge it. And then they start splitting hairs. You know what? You can have complete clarity. You can have a sound mind. You can hear from the Spirit of God and you can know what is true and what is of God and what is not. It comes by mixing faith and humility when you hear the Word of God, and that way hearing it in the human spirit from the Holy Spirit where it produces life in you. Hey, peace that passes understanding is not a theological concept. It's a practical reality that God offers you if you hear the Word of God in the right manner. In Ezekiel, it says in chapter 3 and verse 3, "And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness." That eating part, the masticating part, it's digesting the Word of God. This is talking about hearing in the spirit of man. And then it feeds my emotions and it satisfies. Because I've heard the Word in the spirit of man. I didn't pursue it to soothe my emotions, but it satisfies my emotions. In Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. I can be healed through the word of God. I get a healed mind, a healed emotion, a healed conscience. I get the whole nine yards completely healed in the word of God when I hear in the right manner. I have to do that though. I have to hear in the right manner. I buy the truth and I don't sell it. I don't sell out. By the way, never sell out. Never sell out. Never sell out for anything the world gives. Never sell out for anything that is not precisely from God for you. Never sell out. And don't rationalize selling out. That's the soul responding to the flesh. Never sell out. Never sell out. Never sell your call. Never sell God. Never sell His Word. Never sell His promises. Never sell His Spirit. Never sell His body. Never sell out. Never sell out. Guard your heart with all diligence. Right? Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it come the issues of life. Hear the Word of God. Never sell out on the Word of God. Never sell out. Never sell out for some relationship, young folks. Never sell out for some relationship. Never compromise for some relationship. God has your spouse. You don't. Hey, you know what? How do you know what that person's going to be like next year or 10 years from now? How do you know what they're really like now? You don't. You have no way of knowing. You trust God for that. Don't sell that which is eternal and precious from God for that which brings an immediate emotional high, dopamine high. That's what heroin addicts do. Don't sell out, guys. God has something for you. Receive His Word in your spirit and let it soothe your emotions. Don't look to anything else to soothe your emotions. It can't do it. You know what it'll do? It'll make them worse. It will. You know what it's like? It's like you break your arm and you have an option. You can put a splint on it or you can go weightlifting. And you say, oh, weightlifting will make me stronger. And so what do? To your arm? You damage it beyond repair. Believers are like that. They seek to soothe their emotions. They seek to soothe their wounds. They seek to soothe all kinds of things apart from hearing in the human spirit, hearing the Word of God. And they actually damage themselves worse than when they were started. You know what happens to the believer who goes that way? Someone who was walking in the light and then they turn to ungodly things or things that are not right. Hey, by the way, live precisely with God. Live in a precise call. Live in a precisely leading. Live in a precise life with God. Live in precise faith response to God. Because that's where your healing comes. Do you get it? Hey, do you get it? Talking to you guys, do you get it? Live in a precise faith response to God. Trust Him precisely for all things. Why? That's where your healing comes. You see, if you break your arm and you lift weight, you're going to damage it to the point where it's not any longer repairable. If you seek to soothe a wound or to soothe an emotion in the wrong thing, you're going to damage it to the point where it's no longer repairable. If you do that, you're in trouble. But you hear the Word of God and the Spirit of man from the Holy Spirit, and it heals you, and it gives you peace that passes understanding. It is the greatest fulfillment. I'm telling you this from experience. It's the greatest fulfillment you can imagine. Like something happens, and okay, it happened. It's there. God's on the throne. I don't care. Is that simple? And you have complete confidence in God. I remember my first year, one kid's dad threatened to sue me because I caught his kid plagiarizing. And I called him on it. And I could prove it. That's the thing, I could prove it. He threatened to sue me. I knew God gave me that job. I knew He wanted me out here. And so I got nervous for like 2 seconds. I said, well, God, what if? And He said, I gave you this job. I said, that's right, You gave me this job. Who cares what He thinks? Hey, you know what? You're God's problem. I may be a train wreck, but I'm God's train wreck. Right? I might botch it, but I'm God's problem. So let God take care of it. It happens when the spirit of man hears from the Spirit of God, mixing faith and humility with what he hears and letting life be produced in him. And there's your healing balm. It's not in the world. And it's not in some girl. It's not in some guy. It's not in some job. It's not in something of the world. It's in the Word of God. And that's your healing balm. Amen?